everyone, and welcome to Rewatchable episode 265, where we are talking about Angel season 5, episode 17, Underneath, and episode 18, Origin. My name is Caitlin, and I am joined today by fellow superfan Mai and newbies Brittany and Mitch. Hi, everyone.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
So before we jump into discussing the episodes, just a reminder of how you can get in touch with us. You can email your thoughts to us at rewatchable.podcast@gmail.com. You can tweet at us at @re_watchable, and you can find us on Tumblr at rewatchablepodcast.tumblr.com. So as usual, we are going to start the episode off getting you used to the sounds of our voices with some fun facts for the week. Mitch, we haven't heard from you in a while. Let's start with you.
Sure. So my fun fact is that although I did have a whole segment on About the Weather about hating the Nintendo Switch concept, I did buy one. So my fun fact is that I'm really obsessed with Mario Odyssey. It is so much fun. It is just so like scenic and beautiful and amazing. You can do so much. There's so much to explore. It's kind of like an open world game, which Mario's never really done before to this scale. So I'm super happy playing that game. And yeah, there's still some gimmicks that I don't appreciate about the Switch. It's always running off of battery power, which can be kind of annoying because you can't just turn that off and run it off of, I guess, plugging it into the console base itself. It's kind of hard to explain. It's weird. But it's a weird console. It's still really well, so I kind of jumped on the hype train, and I'm happy enough. So, yeah.
All right. Thank you, Mitch. Brittany, what about you?
So I just got back from a work trip to Chicago. I was there all week. And on my final day there, I had to be at a session at 10 a.m. But I, of course, got up at 4 a.m. local time to watch the royal wedding. And it was incredible. And I didn't think that I cared at all. I was like, the night before, I was out with a friend. And I was like, do I really care enough to get up and watch this? And then, like, you know, cut to me during the ceremony, just a complete mess, loving every single second of it. And then on my flight home, I decided that, you know, I still wasn't over the royal wedding. So I decided to start rereading The Royal We because I happened to have it on my Kindle app on my phone, which was a nice surprise. So, yeah, I'm still just coming down from royal fever. And when we wrap up this podcast, there's a royal Hallmark movie on, so you know, I'm just gonna ride it out till the end. Just let myself bask in the royal wedding for a little bit before I have to return to the real world of work tomorrow.
All right, considering your love of Hallmark movies, that should not surprise me in the least. All right, Mai, what's your fun fact this week?
I gotta stick with my hockey facts. I'm currently watching Sweden and Switzerland in a shootout, and hopefully Sweden's gonna win. And besides that, nothing is fun, nothing is fact. I'm living a boring life at the moment.
Good story.
Yeah. It's all hockey all day. Sorry.
All right, my fun fact is I turned 30 this week. I am officially old.
You're not old. 30 is the new 17.
I had a minor little existential crisis turning 30, but it's okay. Hopefully it'll be better than my 20s, which were actually not that great. So... Listen, go 30.
30s are
supposed to
be... I'm
going to catch up with you soon.
30s are supposed to be great.
Yeah, hopefully.
All right, that wraps up our fun facts this week. Let's jump right in to some Angel. You guys, we are really close to the end of Angel.
Oh, yes, we are. And I am running to that finish line. Full speed.
So before we talk about the episodes, I actually wanted to get some impressions from everyone but Mai, since she was on last week, about Fred's death and Illyria. So Mitch and Brittany, how are you feeling about our loss of Fred and the introduction of the old one, Illyria?
it's weird because, like, I see how they needed to kind of raise the stakes and to kill off a character because I don't even know if I count Cordelia. Yeah, she's definitely been killed off. But it's still very strange that they would only kill off the two female cast members. And Doyle, as we said in the last episode, is just a different case. I don't even consider that a death because it's like, it's just not like they chose to do it. It was just kind of a scenario thing. But these two, they weren't really, there were choices here. And especially with the fact that Charisma just said, I'll come on only if you don't kill off Cordy, and they still did. And then they kill off Fred, like right after that. It's once again, not showing too well for Joss Whedon's production team.
Well, I do miss Fred. I loved Fred. I thought she was such a great character. But I love what Amy Acker's getting to do, especially in these episodes. The second episode with her and Spike, the ones for this week, I thought those scenes were just so great. And the Amy Acker that I came to know through Person of Interest is much more like this Amy Acker. So it's kind of nice to see her play another character and not just be like relegated to whatever bullshit Wes is on, even though, like, I guess that's still kind of the case because it is all about Wes all the time. And he's starting to really piss me off. But again, I don't know if that's his fault or the writer's fault because Wes can just not have nice things, including Fred. And because he wanted Fred, he couldn't have her, so they had to get rid of her. And that trend is sort of starting to piss me off. But with like four episodes left, I'm like, whatever, just give me whatever you're going to give me at this point. But I do miss Fred. I didn't know if I would. I thought this was kind of an interesting direction when I was watching last week's episode. But then, I don't know. I kind of was hoping that she would come back after a little bit. Like there'd be some loophole because there's always a loophole.
Yeah, me too. I was expecting it too until they literally were like, yeah, we crushed her soul. We're done with her now. I was like, okay.
Yeah, it's like, fine. I guess we're not coming back from this.
Yes. I was telling Karen as it happened, I was watching it, and I was like, this is the one time on like any show ever that I actually want a character to be resurrected.
Did you guys really think she was going to die in the episode?
No. Stakes didn't seem high enough. It was like, okay, mummy germs, whatever. We've had like an Inca mummy girl already. They're just going to keep playing off of this mummy thing and be like cute and fun about it. But nope, she was dead. And I was like, okay, that's it.
Yeah. Same exact reaction. I was like, oh God, when the episode started, I'm like, oh my God, we're recycling plots from like season one of Buffy here. What are we doing? And then I was like, oh no, this is bad in a totally different way.
I don't know how much they talked about it last week, but Joss has said that he created Illyria because Amy Acker is such a talented actor that he wanted to give her more range to play.
Which is totally fair, because like I said, I watched her play like this psychotic, like genius on Person of Interest, and she is so good that watching her play Fred was almost like an insult. When I was watching her, I was like, but you are so much better than this. So yeah, watching her here, it's much, much better, and I am happy for her in that regard, even though she only gets to do it for like six episodes or until they kill her, who knows.
I can only imagine getting all donned up into that blue with the leather costume is not fun, though. I'm sure she's already sick of it.
What were you going to say, Mai?
I was going to say that I do wish we could see Fred meet Illyria.
Like, yes.
See Amy play off herself.
Which
they probably will in the dream sequence.
That was originally planned for in season six before the show was canceled.
The show got canceled.
Yes. They found out about their cancellation as they were filming underneath. In this episode, they found out that the show was canceled.
That is interesting. And I don't know if I would have wanted to know that, but I guess it's going to inform how I watch the next couple of episodes. So it might be good to know.
Yes, it was canceled. So Buffy got its ending. Angel was canceled by the network. It was not supposed to end.
Yeah, but they could still write to it. And I guess one episode left of filming, whatever they had left at that point. Not sure, or writing at least.
Yeah, it wouldn't have been a lot.
No. Yeah, it's quick, but it's better than nothing.
So if it feels like there should be more than what there is, there's a reason for that, basically, because there should have been more.
But well, that's the comics.
Yeah. Hashtag yeah. The comics, which always is possibly unfortunate in some ways. All right. So I just wanted to get those initial impressions from the people who were not on the episode last week. I also think Amy Acker is phenomenal.
Yep. As
Illyria, she just, like, the way she differentiates herself from Fred is just, you know, just in the way she stands and her movements and her voice, like, she very much feels like an alien entity inhabiting that body. So she is very much incredible, but I also agree it is very problematic that Cordelia died in You're Welcome and Fred dies in A Hole in the World, and now we have no main female characters, and three women have now died because of sort of mystical pregnancy plot lines. So
you know, this show is trash.
Who's the third one, remember?
Darla, Cordelia, Fred.
Yeah, that's right. But should it be said that Harmony is now added to the main credits, which is like,
huh. I did notice that, and I was like, maybe I just didn't watch the credits for the last couple of times, but no, I did pick that up, but still a little too late.
I thought it was going to be like a Jesse or like a Tara thing where they're going to bring the character in as the main credit cast and then just kill him off in that episode.
Another woman.
Yeah, that would have been upsetting. Would have been. I mean, I think I would have definitely rage quit and just read the Wikipedia for the rest of the episode.
All right, let's jump right into Underneath, since we're talking about its credits. So episode 517, Underneath. And in this episode, Angel brings back his boyfriend, Lindsay, to see if he's got the scoop on the senior partners, but leaves behind a gloomy gun to hang out in hell because I guess that's what heroes do now. So, yes, Harmony is in the credits. Did anyone notice any other change to the credits?
Fred's very blue now.
Yes.
She looks cool with those swords when she's tipping them down. I'm like, okay.
She's like, an ex-Fred.
Yeah, it looks really cool. She actually is kind of like an X-Men, actually.
Yeah, so if you had any hope that Fred might be coming back, the credits sort of nuked that, because now it's basically, now we got some more Illyria in the credits. So, little change there. So, we move into this episode, and we're very much in the aftermath of grief. The previous episode, Shells, was very much the immediate aftermath of grief and losing Fred. We get this, a little bit of time seems to be passing, but everyone is still really struggling with having lost Fred. And when Angel calls a meeting, literally the only one to come is Spike.
Oh, so prepared. This little briefcase.
Mitch, you must be loving all this Spangel we're getting these episodes recently.
Oh my God. Like it really like started to heat up when they were in the Hole in the World and they're like, did you forget? And they hold hands and I'm like, no, I didn't forget.
I love that too, because he didn't make the connection to St. Petersburg until he felt the wire. So he actually held Angel's hand just because Angel told him to.
These boys are going to kill me.
Oh my God. I'm kind of shipping it now too. I can't help it.
Yes. And the whole sub episode too is just rife with sexual tension.
You noticed him checking out the ass.
I brought that up and I was like, well, I mean, sure, but.
But you know it happened.
All right. So we've got Wesley is off playing babysitter to Illyria. You've got Gunn is in the hospital because Wes stabbed him. And I am just classic really over Wes right now. Fred is dead, unfortunately. And then you've got Lorne is off drinking and depressed. And is really sick of having everyone wanting him to be positive all the time. Poor Lorne. And then you got Angel and Spike, who are kind of still trying to fight the good fight the best they can. So let's talk a little bit separately about Wesley and Illyria. How are we feeling about the fact that Wesley has agreed to be Illyria's guide to this world?
Wes does not know how to handle anything ever. So he just punishes himself and makes everything harder for everyone. Like, I think that it's kind of good that he has a project, but also, like, Angel's been, like, saying to him, like, he needs to sleep. He needs to stop drinking. So, like, there's some good and bad involved in the fact that, like, he's punishing himself for, you know, facing this being who looks like Fred all the time, but also, like, not really getting anywhere. He seemed a little bit better in the second episode, but this episode was very much, like, where he's, like, dreaming and Fred comes up to him, and it's very, like, I want to feel bad for him, but I haven't felt bad for him in a very long time.
I still think of him as the rogue demon hunter. I think he's still just as floppy, if not just, as you were saying, more self-punishing. That's it. That's the only way he's really changed. Like, sure, he does, like, these cool Lara Croft, like, double pistol moves, and he's good at that, but he still seems like he's just, he's like, yeah, I'll just take care of this demon lady. And he's not. Like, she's, like, punching him across the room and threatening to kill him at every turn. I'm almost surprised he's not dead by now, because it feels like she's just like, I'm going to gut you right there. And he like doesn't have an argument against it. Like, she really just should at this point.
I'm having a hard time with Wesley, I've always had a hard time with Wesley and Fred, because he has always put her on a pedestal and he's never fully embraced, like, who Fred is completely. Like, he idealizes her too much. And even though he finally got the start of a relationship with her, they were still in that honeymoon phase of that relationship when she died. So he had never, like, dug into, like, the actual Fred, the one that Gunn really got to know when they were a couple. So I just find this whole thing so uncomfortable that he is going so dark over this woman that he has really idealized since the beginning. And it's not really true to who she really was. And I just find the whole thing very uncomfortable, and it makes me lose a lot of sympathy for him.
Yep, very good points.
And it's creepy too, because he admits the only reason he's doing it is because she looks like Fred. And it's very, very uncomfortable.
It's a bit objectifying again, isn't it? About Fred herself, not about Illyria, I guess.
Yeah, like, he sees what's left of Fred and just wants to hang on to that. I mean, I think there's something.
I get it.
Yeah. And I think there's something to be said for, you know, Illyria, obviously, her army is destroyed, so she can't really raise an army, and she doesn't really have anything to do now. So it makes more sense that something that dangerous, they should keep as close as possible to keep an eye on her. But the way Wesley is going about it is very uncomfortable. And I'm super not into it.
If you don't bang by the finale, they're definitely going to bang during the comics. So,
all right. So we're also getting, I guess, the one thing that I do enjoy about the Wesley and Illyria dynamic is that we're getting a lot of, like, philosophizing going on between them about, like, the meaning of life and everything. I find that kind of interesting. The kind of things that they're talking about, what Illyria is interested in, that kind of thing. So that's sort of interesting to me. Oh, and something else I wanted to mention was Wesley has a dream about Fred.
About layers?
She says, "This is only the first layer. Don't you want to see how deep I go?" Which feels to me like she's saying there's a sense that Fred is still in there. Like, the person who said that Fred's soul was destroyed was that sketchy demon doctor, and no one really thought to confirm that. I don't trust that guy.
Well, Leary did say that Fred's brain was squashed, and I don't know,
but brain that's not her soul. Angelus has a brain, but no soul.
Mm.
That's debatable.
Angelus is the smart one, my one. So I don't necessarily trust that her soul has been destroyed. And I think that maybe they should have spent a little more time trying to figure that out. But I feel like maybe there's a hint there that something of Fred could still be there.
I wouldn't have got that.
Well, and in the next episode, they talk about her being able to like tap in to like some of the memories. Like I know that's like not necessarily relevant to the fact that Fred proper is still around, but it did make me think about, you know, what exactly constitutes someone disappearing forever and how you can maybe pull them back together with, like, you know, find a soul in a jar somewhere and get the heart of a lion or something, you know, I don't know.
There's always a soul in a jar.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. I also want to talk a little bit, in the dream, Fred says to Wes, "Tell me a joke." And Wes gives like this really not funny joke, but I wanted to talk a little bit about it because I think it's kind of significant. So he says, two men walk into a bar. The first man orders a scotch and soda. The second man remembers something he'd forgotten, and it doubles him over with pain. He falls to the floor shaking, and then through the floor and into the earth. He looks back up at the first man, but he doesn't call out to him. They're not that close. And I'm like, wow, high themes of this season of Angel. You've got nobody being willing to reach out for help. And I think this also ties into the next episode when Marcus goes to see Gunn to offer him a deal to get out of the holding dimension, and Gunn refuses. He doesn't call out to him. They're not that close. He doesn't know Marcus that well.
I saw it as like two different Wes's, the one that is going to remember, like it's a foreshadowing of Origins when he remembers all of the bad stuff that happened. So he's looking at like the two sets of Wes's from the two sets of memories.
That's one thing. I agree with Caitlin's interpretation of the joke, but it also made me think of that scene with Lorne too, where he's just like, well, time to put the smile on and go back to work, even though like that he's not close with the guy whose mind he's reading or future he's reading, and just telling him what he wants, but he's willing to just say it out to no one in particular that, you know, my life is kind of sucky right now and I'm just going to drink this drink. I know it's not going to be the end, but I'm going to finish it and then I'm going to go back and I'm going to smile and not tell anyone what's going on with me, which I'm really concerned for Lorne because we didn't really see much of him after that fact. It was like little, he's only in a few more scenes. So I'm kind of nervous about him.
He's very depressed about losing Fred. It's very sad.
Yeah.
But I thought the joke was interesting because it very much seems to echo what these characters are doing this season in being this
stupid
and refusing to get help. Basically, they're in pain and refusing for to ask for help. And
they're not that close.
And look at all the problems it's caused. So,
yep.
I thought that was interesting.
And I feel like Spike, too, in the beginning of this episode, is trying to find that closeness again. Like, yes, he was like kind of an interloper into the Scoobies, and he cracks that joke about them not being called that. but you know,
Angels Avengers.
His face. Oh, he likes it.
So
I was like, just crossing my fingers they'd say pancakes, honestly.
But like watching him walk into that room and like actually asking, like, well, there's supposed to be more people here. Like, I'm supposed to be part of the team, like, not just like the muscle. And, you know, what, where we got to rally the troops and get everyone together. And, you know, that's something that's brought up a couple of times that I noticed in like this episode and the next one, where they kind of do. I mean, it might just be for exposition and storytelling, but they kind of do a roll call in every episode. And they're like, well, we're down in numbers. Like, we are losing people left and right, and no one is coming together. The people who are left are not coming together. It's really sad. This is a dark, depressing show, and I agree with Lorne. How much more happy can I be about watching it?
Yeah, it just keeps getting darker and more depressing, guys. So Wesley and Illyria are off doing whatever Wesley's drinking and calling Illyria a smurf, which I find hilarious. Gunn is recovering in the hospital because Wes stabbed him. And I would just like to say, I think Gunn is getting an outsized level of blame for his part in this.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure. Which, oh my God, how many twists were there when Angel was telling him how to feel about this? It was like, you're a good guy, but you should feel bad. But only because you're a good guy, and you should never let it go. And you're not going to because you're a good guy. And I was like, whoa. It was like watching a tennis match with Angel and just himself. It was great, but also weird.
I mean, I think it made sense. Like, he understands exactly what Gunn is feeling.
Oh, no, totally. I just had some whiplash during it all.
And he's basically saying the only reason you feel so bad is because you are a good person. A bad person would not feel bad about this.
He should just have said that.
Yes.
Yeah, so like, he really toyed around with Gunn here and me.
But Angel is melodramatic. He doesn't just get to the point.
Oh my God, yes. That's not his character. Pathetic like that. He just likes the drama.
Preach.
That's not his character. Okay, so
he literally like seeks out the most dramatic way to say anything at all times.
Ugh. It's true. That's why he liked Angels Avengers.
Yeah.
It's the most melodramatic. So Angel decides that what they need to do is find out what the senior partners are up to. And the only person that they know who has a connection to the senior partners is Eve. So she's been hiding out in Lindsay's apartment because it's still got all the wards on the walls. So they go find her, and Angel basically offers her protection, except there's another force from the senior partners coming after her. So they're trying to keep her safe, but she potentially has information about the senior partners that could help them figure out what is going on and what their plans are at this point. And we learn a little bit more about her. She's immortal, and she was created by the senior partners. She says she's a child of the senior partners.
I thought that was interesting, mainly because it makes you wonder, well, who else was created by the senior partners for what purpose? And that also feeds into the next episode. It's not a senior partner thing, but like, people are being created and manipulated and constructed, and memories are being swapped and personalities are being changed all the time. So how many of those people walking the halls of Wolfram and Hart are actually there on their own free will? I mean, most of them might have walked into the building on their own free will and then signed a contract, and now they're not there on their free will. But how many of them are acting for themselves, or are they just sort of created or changed once they get there? We saw Gunn go through that whole thing with the creepy doctor who I hope we never have to see again. And, you know, it's just, this whole place is so bad. Everything is bad all the time. Why?
Do you remember when the creepy doctor was killed by Spike because he was talking about the viscous fluids that came out of the man after he had his way with him?
Oh, good.
I think he was just torturing him for information.
Oh, bad.
No, I think he would have been totally justified in killing the guy, but I don't know that he did. So the person coming, let's just get to Marcus. The person coming after Eve turns out to be another Firefly alum, Adam Baldwin, the man called Jane, is playing Marcus.
I'll be in my bunk.
It's too bad Adam Baldwin is a horrible human being.
Yeah, I know. Let's ignore that for now.
Yes, exactly. Let's ignore that.
Because Jane is amazing.
And Adam Baldwin is very nicely dressed in his suit.
And as everyone notices.
Mm-hmm. Which I love that. He's like, oh, he really is well-dressed. Yeah. but he comes in and everyone thinks he's going to kill Eve because she is terrified of him. And the way women are dropping on this show, it doesn't seem out of the question. And he like punches a fist through a security guard's chest. Without
that was so cool.
Blinking an eye.
Another reaction shot.
Yeah.
They're all screaming.
Yeah. It kind of reminds me of like Tabula Rasa.
Yes. I was going to say.
Yeah. So they run. Turns out he just wants Eve to sign some paperwork. But Eve is turning over her immortality and her job as with connection to the senior partners to Marcus, who's now going to be Angel's liaison to the senior partners. So Eve is now mortal and kind of useless.
Well, was she really useful before?
No, not really.
Didn't change much.
Though I did appreciate her in these last few episodes being like all disheveled and like not superior anymore. Like,
yeah.
All that was totally gone.
So, I just want Lila to come back and like kick her ass. Like, I know she kind of came back and like sass drop a bit, but I want her to come back and be like, how dare you do all of my friends wrong? That's right. They're my friends now. They're better than you. Bye. But now I think Lila's done. It would just be great like to see like the real Lila fight the diet Lila. Fight to the death.
Speaking of dead women.
Yeah, seriously. Ugh. List goes on.
I didn't know what we had until it was gone.
I know, it's true. So that's going on. Eve, no longer useful. But Angel and Spike and Gunn, after Angel visits him to be like, is there a way to protect Eve, comes in with this idea of how to go get Lindsay, who is trapped in some kind of hell dimension. They don't know what hell dimension he's in. They figure out he's in a holding dimension of the senior partners. And it turns out to be a dimension of the suburbs because metaphors.
I was hell thinking when they first showed him there, I was like, oh, interesting. He still, even though he's like resigned himself to this life before, like knowing, like, you know, this was like his version of hell, you know, just like, I'm like, when he was walking out to get the paper, I'm like, he still does not fit in here. Like, he never just knows how to dress for the right place that he's at. Like, he looked so weird and like disheveled, and he had like those loose fitting pants on. Like, I get that was a style back then, but like, he still didn't feel like suburban dad, you know?
It was that mussy hair.
Yeah.
Babe.
Oh my gosh. It was so.
Yeah.
But it turns out it's not just that the suburbs are a torture. It's that every day he is sent down to the cellar and is tortured and has his heart ripped out. And then it grows back and he goes back upstairs and then it happens all over again.
This is me feeling bad for him.
So, I guess your metaphor is that the suburbs are hell and they rip out your heart.
Yeah.
So, you know.
With S&M demon monsters. But
not entirely subtle, but that's okay.
And also, who on earth has spare oven lights. Like, when that thing goes out, you leave it out for at least 6 months before you even consider trying to go and find and buy one.
Yeah, and who needs it while their kid is studying for a test? Like, come on. Not
at least writing something more realistic.
Exactly. I don't know what, that was my biggest problem with that whole thing. I was like, who has spare oven light bulbs?
Yeah. Well, there's your first hint that things aren't quite what they seem, because who has spare oven light bulbs? Nobody.
Unless, of course, like, maybe they come in a pack of two and then you use one and then not the other one for like another 6 years. But like, come on that shelf with the thingies.
I thought through the logic a lot too. I was like, she needs it now so that she can start baking, because if it's inside the oven, you can't do it when it's hot. I kind of get the logic of I need it now, but like, wait a second.
And also, who keeps them in the basement? You should put it in the hall closet.
Yeah.
Diet Darla, yes.
You know, actually, I almost thought this was Darla when the scene first opens up with him in bed with her. I don't know. It's just because there have been like too many blondes in the show, whatever it was. It just her profile really looks a lot like Darla in the bed at first. And I was like, this is a weird twist.
Well, Lindsay did have a thing for Darla, so.
Did he?
He sure did.
Yeah. That would not have been unexpected, honestly.
Yeah, it could have been Nina, because she's dropped off the face of the earth. She's just
back in his plastic can days.
Back in the plastic can days, yes.
He really did like her. Yeah, that's weird.
I miss that plastic can. Again, another instance of you don't know what you got till it's gone.
But yeah, so Angel, Gunn, and Spike go and they try and get him, because he has apparently done a ton of research on the senior partners. He has no idea who they are until they pull off this necklace he's wearing.
Can we know? Always a talisman.
Always a talisman.
Oh, God.
Very true. And his memories come back. Turns out the only way for them to get out of this dimension is to leave someone in Lindsay's place. Gunn knew this all along and planned to stay behind himself because it was his opportunity for atonement for his part in Fred's death. And Angel, having told him he needs to take all opportunities for atonement, can't really argue with him. So they leave.
So if only Angel wasn't so dramatic in that one sequence, I think we would have been better off right now.
Damn it, Angel.
This isn't what I meant.
I meant go help some people in alleys, not stay behind to get your heart ripped out.
Is it so bad for me to say, like, okay, if we have to bring a person to exchange, can we bring out that guy that, like, made his child the epicenter for all disease? That probably would have been a better choice.
That guy would be a better choice for a lot of things. A lot of sacrifices that... given him over for.
It's true.
Trade him off to the werewolf eating people, make him one, be like, here you go.
Can you imagine, like, back in the old early Buffy seasons, Buffy jamming the sword into Angel and him being sent to suburbia?
What? Yeah, what version of hell is Angel sent to?
I feel like his was probably a more traditional version of hell.
Fire and brimstone, like, type hell.
Like ice or ice.
Yeah.
Apparently they still had hair products there because he came out of that portal looking fabulous.
But yes, so I thought it was kind of interesting, and it really is really creepy when you start looking at that hell, because it's like, ha ha, suburbia's hell, ha ha, very funny. But then, like, the actual
when they get the paper
and they pick up the skateboard, you know,
and they wave.
How did Gunn not get shot in that sequence where there's so many like bullets going off? Or Lindsay, it seemed pretty unrealistic that they would somehow avoid all the sub-automatic machine guns.
The kid having that gun was so fucking creepy.
That does not translate well to
totally.
I was thinking about that. We literally had a mass shooting like 2 days ago. Not entirely positive.
And he's so tiny.
Yeah, I can't imagine that would fly in current day broadcast.
But yeah, so Gunn stays behind. they bring, Angel and Spike bring Lindsay back. And Lindsay reveals that the apocalypse, not an apocalypse, like they've dealt with
okay.
the apocalypse. Oh. Like all those other ones, they were cute. This is like the actual one. And the whole point of what the senior partners has been doing is to distract Angel and to basically corrupt his morals. So the hero should not be accepting things, should not be compromising his morals, should not be in the gray area on things. And Angel, by working at Wolfram and Hart, has done nothing but compromise his morals and has not done anything but be forced to accept the world as it is rather than trying to improve it. And that has put him on kind of the bad guy's side, which is exactly what the senior partners wanted. And they're kind of screwed.
Oh, man.
Thoughts.
I think one of my favorite things about this episode was actually the writing of this scene in particular, just because, you know, we joke a lot about prophecies being awful and like, you know, oh, well, like in Spike, I think has a line either in this episode or the next episode where it's just like, oh, which apocalypse? Like, because, like, basically, I already survived one of those. Like, bro, what's another one? And just to, like, hear, you know, like, oh, all of these are, like, just distractions. And it's like, oh, you're translating text wrong. And that's, like, so inconsequential to, like, what's actually going on. And then even in the next episode, we had that flashback, like, the father will kill the son and everything's misinterpreted. And, like, it's just to know that there was something bigger going on, like, it just is comforting that that's acknowledged in a way. For me, at least, it makes all of this nonsense seem a little bit more sensical, but it's also an easy loophole to get yourself out of it. It's the talisman of all talismans.
It's the one ring.
Yeah, using that one line of dialogue was the way to get out of all the holes you wrote yourself into.
What do we think about what turned out to be the senior partner's motivations?
This is all very strange. I'm still kind of thrown off with the fact that Eve is a baby of them but doesn't know who they are. I wish we knew more about what they looked like, who they were. I don't know why they're saving that. I don't know if it's going to show up and be like the first. It'll just be like Buffy being evil again. I don't even know. I don't know what's going on with them still. And we're like four episodes away. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah, I think they might have probably spent, like you were saying, that this, it got canceled around the time of this episode. The word of cancellation, I'm guaranteeing, while the next episode and the episode after were probably very well done into pre-production, they were like, in the writer's room being like, ah, shit. Now we need to explain everything and figure out a way to make it all have stakes, and not just stakes for a season finale, but stakes for a series finale, and have everything sort of pay off or at least make some semblance of sense. And I don't know if this line was written in or changed before that happened, but they're very much trying to get us to care about the senior partners all of a sudden. I mean, I guess we should have cared about them all along, but they're easy to forget until they can help us explain away something.
I bet you right now they're like scrambling to get Sarah Michelle Gellar in. They're like, God, where is she? What project is she on? We just need her for one scene, please. Give the warm cookie.
I hope that doesn't happen.
The warm cookie.
Pretty obvious that like no one from Buffy really cares except for Andrew to come on, because they were like, no, Willow doesn't like you anymore. No, there's Giles. Oh yeah, and Buffy hates you guys too. So I feel like they're really not going to come on, which is strange. It feels weird. It feels like you need to have at least one of them. And if anything, it should be Sarah Michelle Gellar, but I guess we'll see.
Well, it was in the Hole in the World episode, the Drogon character was supposed to be Giles, but they couldn't get Anthony Stewart Head.
Buffy couldn't even get Anthony Stewart Head for half of the season. What did Angel want?
Well, the idea was they needed a character for whom you knew him saying basically that Fred couldn't be saved, that there was no doubt coming from that character, so that it coming from Giles would have felt very final, but instead they created Drogon, who mystically cannot lie. But originally they wanted Giles for that.
Yeah, because Giles is never wrong.
Giles never lies. The most right all the time.
Yeah, he never
has. It's just weird. Like, how could they have defined that he knows it definitively? Like, they would have to make Giles mystical, or they could be like, oh, it's the coven. He knows because of future telling stuff.
I mean, obviously that was like scratched in production.
Yeah. Since
they couldn't get the actor, but there was an attempt to make a crossover there.
Is this the same episode that they told them? No, they have to. Yeah, this is. This is the same episode where they definitely write Giles like out of the series by saying that he doesn't want to hang out with them. So I guess that they just chose the path. They
were he like, doesn't want to hang out with them.
Yeah, he's just done.
He's never liked Angel, and then Angel killed his girlfriend and tortured him when he was evil.
Oh, Jenny, why did we have to go there?
Another woman. Another woman, yes.
Yeah.
And he doesn't exactly like Spike either. So,
he likes Randy.
I mean, he tried to help get
Nobody is good enough for my Buffy.
He did try to help get Spike killed.
So, yeah.
I mean, who hasn't?
Throwing it up.
Yes, true.
Also true.
Who hasn't had one of those days where it's like, you know what? Maybe today's the day I take some time to get Spike killed.
He's just bloody hell everywhere. Sick of the fire.
All right, so our international titles for this episode are German, it's Lindsay, and French translates to underneath the surface.
Lindsay, huh?
Yeah.
Really, just that's
there was no cover in that spoiler there.
No. None whatsoever. We knew what this one was about.
Let's get to the point.
Yeah.
It's definitely still weird to me that he wasn't like killed that episode, because I thought he was. Like the way Lila was mourning him, and now he's just back with an episode titled Lindsay. Oops. Diet Lila. Diet Lila. See? They're almost interchangeable. It's so bad.
They are not. How dare you?
If you had a diet version of Lila, they'd be interchangeable. Mm. It's not a compliment at all. Diet Lila. Lila is still queen.
All right. Any final thoughts on this one before we move into favorite scenes and favorite lines?
Fun and weird idea. Would you ever have imagined Buffy season one that Harmony would enter the season credits without Cordelia?
I didn't think Harmony would last a season.
Of Angel or Buffy?
Of any. Yeah, especially of Buffy, let alone this. I really was like rooting for her death when she became a vampire because she was just so annoying.
Oh my God. Yeah, I thought she was done for when she got bit at the graduation, and then she's still around. She's still doing things. Does it make sense that she's in the main credits? Does she have enough to do like for the rest of the series? It's probably because they thought they had like another season. So,
well, that and they're like, wow, we keep killing women.
Yeah.
We should promote one to make up for all of it.
Next thing, Diet Lila's in the credits. We're like, no, that's what we wanted. Take out LaCroix.
I just still don't get why Cordy had to die after quote unquote getting her guy back on track, because clearly he's not back on track.
Yeah.
I don't know what they would have done with her at this point, because they've made her story such a mess and she probably doesn't want to be on the show anymore. So if they don't kill her, what would they have done? Not that I agree with the decision, because she specifically stated I'm not coming on unless they don't kill off Cordy. But still, like, I can't imagine what they'd be doing right now if they had Cordy around. They would be doing none of this nonsense. They would be very collected and well thought out.
Like, how many times does Angel need to be beat over the head with, hello, you're working for the bad guys?
Apparently, a couple more.
Yeah. So he said Angelus is the smart one. You guys, it's rough. All right, favorite scenes. My favorite scene was Angel visiting Gunn in the hospital, because I think it was, he tells Gunn basically what he needs to hear, that he's not gonna be kicked off the team or anything. So, which he's not going to become Wesley after Wesley stole Connor, basically.
Oh God, we're getting there.
Yeah. Mm. He's still on the team. He's a good man. Angel doesn't seem to be particularly mad at him or anything. He's just kind of like, yeah, you fucked up, but who among us hasn't? So
who among us? Yeah. Hasn't?
I mean, let's get real. So I enjoyed that. And I think Gunn really needed to hear it too. My, your favorite scene.
Spike popping a beer out of his briefcase.
I'm listening with beer. Mitch.
Mine was the repeat dialogue for the ending sequence where Gunn did the same exact thing that Lindsay did, because I like how it was just exact, like everything, like the staging, everything. I thought that that was pretty masterful.
Same shirt too, I think.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of good attention to detail there.
Yeah, I thought that was good too. And Brittany.
Mine was just, it'll never get old for me, just Spike and Angel being afraid of the sun, and when the car door opens and they're like, ah! And then Gunn is like, guys, alternate reality, like, sun is not going to hurt you. But then also when Spike comes back and he's like, I'm on fire, and he's not on fire.
Oh, can we also appreciate that, like, after Marcus leaves, Angel and Spike are standing in the exact same position with their hands on their hips?
Oh,
it's amazing. They are so similar. It's ridiculous.
I love our stupid boys.
Oh, so good. Mm. All right, favorite lines. Mine was Illyria talking to Wesley. Wes is trying to goad her into leaving dimensions, and like, you were stuck in one dimension. And she says, I walked worlds of smoke and half truths, intangible worlds of torment and unnameable beauty, opaline towers as high as small moons, glaciers that rippled with insensate lust, and one world with nothing but shrimp. I tired of that one quickly. Call back to Anya.
Shrimp. Did Anya create a world without shrimp? I was confused because
I think there's one with shrimp, nothing but shrimp, and there's one with no shrimp.
Okay. All right.
I lost it that they had the callback to that joke from Anya. It just, because you can think about Illyria and Anya being kind of similar in some ways, because they're both very old demons now trapped in human bodies and don't entirely know how to deal with the world around them. And now they both are talking about dimensions with shrimp.
Yeah. Like, honestly, is it like, did Nox not pick the best body after all, since Illyria can, you know, open her mouth the right way and such? She doesn't seem happy.
Yeah. I don't know, like, if she needed to, like, go into, like, the rock, like, what kind of, like, body she would have been happier with here.
The rock. The rock, probably.
I'm trying to think, like, who has, like, probably a big mouth.
Well, I think she would have appreciated something not human.
Yeah.
Because she holds humanity in complete disdain.
Maybe she would have been happy as, like, a giraffe. I don't know.
A hippo has a big mouth.
They do have big mouths. Hippos. Yeah, she could be a hippo. That would be great. She'd be eating a lot of watermelons.
And people.
Yeah, and people. That's true.
Anyway.
Yes, anyway. My, your favorite line
is from the opening scene. Angel, if they were here, I wouldn't be alone. Why am I alone? And then Harmony goes, well, you can be super grouchy.
I see no lie there.
I just really love her.
Speaking of Harmony, Mitch, what's your line?
Yes, mine is when Harmony and Lauren are watching after Eve. Wow, I got all those names right, and I was really trying to avoid Lila, but still got it out there. And Harmony says, Yeah, I got strict instructions. No torture. You're totally safe. I love her. I'm happy she's on the show. I really wish we had another season, if not just to have more harmony. That would have been fun.
Her hair is so good.
Yeah, she always has very loud and big hair. Mm-hmm. It's great.
And Brittany, your favorite line?
Mine is about the hell dimensions. And it's when they said, there's thousands of different kinds of hell. You got your fire hell, your ice hell, your ice hell, your upside down hell. And then Angel goes, I don't care if he's in toy poodles on parade hell. He's got information that we need.
Stupid boys. All right, that brings us to Angel, season 5, episode 18, Origin. In this episode, Connor is back, and in a surprise move, he's tolerable, if still vaguely annoying. But when Wesley goes rogue, all of the beans are finally spilled. Mm-hmm. So, who was surprised to see Connor?
God.
I thought we were done with him. I really did. And I was very happy that we were done with Connor.
It was fine. Like, I wasn't happy when it started. And then I was like, okay, fine, we'll deal with this. Hopefully it's just one episode. That was my biggest concern, was that this wasn't going to go away. And I feel like it did go away, even if that episode ending was a little, you know, left a little to the imagination. But it was also just, like, heartbreaking in a lot of respects, especially regarding Angel. And, like, Wes, I guess, yes, he was more annoying, because I don't like the trope of, like, the audience being in on something and watching someone else, like, go completely insane over it, even though that's not what happened, and it's just annoying. But, yeah, he was here. That was a thing that happened. Boo.
See, it really starts to feel like they knew this was the final season, which they couldn't have at this point, as we said, from the fact that they brought in Connor, they killed off Cordelia, they're killing off Fred. They're raising the stakes, like I said, they're making the apocalypse, like, the largest one. Killing off Sojan, they're kind of like tying up loose ends here, but apparently we're not going to have everything done. I don't know what more I really need, honestly.
I mean, I feel like the memory stuff needed to be addressed, mm-hmm. and Connor's presence was pretty much needed to address that in some way. And the longer they went, the more ridiculous it became. So I feel like it was needed to get this out of the way.
You know, they probably were just sick of it in the writing room. They're like, we just can't do this anymore. We don't know what happened and what did it. Now they have a great loophole because the characters don't either. They're like, yeah, the memories are mixing. And the writers are like, yes, we wrote ourselves out of that one. We can make up whatever we want.
I mean, this whole debate about the memories is kind of something that Whedon likes to explore. Like, he does it in Dollhouse, too, of how much your memories contribute to who you are as a person. And now everyone who had their memories erased and now have gotten them back are going to have to, you know, reconcile who they were versus, like, in their time before the memories got erased to the person they were with their memories erased. And according to Illyria, you've got two sets of memories now. So how do you go through the world, like, having two sets of memories? That would be very disconcerting.
I love the way that Wes describes it. He's saying things like, you have to focus on the reality. And I think he was saying he wants to focus on the real memories, right? Because it got weird. But he was talking about the way you need to push out what's, I think, fake. It got really strange and mushy, but I liked it, but it still confused me, if that makes sense.
And you also had to be near the box. So Gunn and Lorne probably still don't remember.
Oh, was that a role in the memory we're giving?
Yeah, doesn't he say that when he's taunting Angel?
Wes or
the red guy?
I don't remember. I believe you. I would have thought that the threat would have only counted if it mattered for everyone in the world. because like, why else would it matter? Because if Angel's the only one around, like just smash it right then and there and take out the threat.
Because clearly his parents still think he's their son.
Yeah, and that kind of like leaves that Connor thing kind of like, you know, it's with the parents not being aware of like this isn't their world and stuff like that. Like it gives Connor the reasoning to go back to them, mm-hmm. you know, to be like they need to like not be aware of any of this. And, you know, they would then be like, who are they? They wouldn't even know who Connor was. Or they would know him, but they would also have the memories of, like, having not had a child that,
yeah,
you know, they just have, he has siblings, though, right? I think
yeah.
he saw, yeah.
You know, like, two. You know, what's really funny is the fact then that they left out both Gunn and Lauren. Lauren being for the fact that he can now read people when they sing, and he'll see this alternate past and or future because of the memories that are now there. I had to have to assume that sounds like a writing nightmare. So they're still in it. And Gunn is like double mind wiped at this point. So don't even ask me how you start to deal with that. Ugh.
Well, the person who was most affected by this, I mean, besides Connor, obviously, is Wes. He had the most egregious crime committed, like, and he was the most changed by losing his memory. So I think it's the most important that we see him have to reconcile everything that he's doing, everything he's feeling, knowing that he actually set everything in motion. He's basically been trying to blame everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's basically left to realize that he kind of put everything in motion.
Yeah, and we've been like tiptoeing around that since the memory loss was like happened. Like, you know, like did Wes just wake up one day with this like killer stubble and like bags under his eyes and being like, why am I so depressed all the time? maybe because you lied and kidnapped your best friend's son and set this whole like chain of events in motion and ruined everybody's lives for just a little bit of time. Everybody came back around, but like Wes was a huge part of that. And, you know, we've talked about it. How can we ignore it? And mm-hmm. you can't forever, even though Angel was kind of hoping that that would be the case.
Yeah, I mean, would Cordy still be alive if Connor hadn't gone to Hell Dimension?
Well, he would still be an infant, so he could not be the father of Jasmine.
Ugh. People are remembering Jasmine again.
Yeah, that's fun.
Hey, at least they remember the baby in the bed again. That's nice.
Oh, stop it.
Kind of wish Lauren could remember babysitting the baby.
And Lauren would be like, because I think Lauren, if he got his memories back and remembered all of that, he'd be like, why am I still with you people? I have to go. Do you remember when you made me babysit all those times?
He's so much better than everyone else on this show.
He really is.
He needs new friends.
Yeah.
He's like the Tara of Angel.
Yes, he is. He really is.
You're so much better than everyone around you. Oh, poor Lauren.
And I feel like he never really gets like his full justice of anything. Like, he never gets a love interest. Not that you need one, but something like a side plot, something interesting. Yeah, he kind of has like Pylea, but that just kind of died out. Like, it was more of Fred's story than his.
Yeah, he should get a bar.
Yeah, maybe he needs another destroyed. Bar. Like, yes, like he needs another Caritas to like spice things up. But just to get out of Angel Investigations, it's not a good place for him.
Oh, sad story. All right, let's focus on what happens in this episode. Apparently people don't want to talk about Connor, but
no.
His hair is still stupid.
Yes, nothing got better.
That is also
it's
true.
It's a new kind of stupid, yes.
Slightly better, still stupid.
I'm looking forward to him shaving part of his hair back to have the balding look. That's going to look better on Mad Men.
Not great, Bob.
So Connor's family ends up at Wolfram and Hart because Connor got hit by a van, should have killed him, and he was fine. And the cops were like, we know some people who deal with weird shit, so you should probably go talk to them because this is crazy. And Wes is like, hey, this is actually something we could do, like take our minds off things and help these nice people. And Angel is like, hell no, not gonna happen. Get them out of here.
I will say, when Wes was like, what's your problem? I like kind of forgot for a hot second that he wouldn't remember who Connor is. And I was like, what are you doing, Wes? Do you hate Angel that much? And then I'm like, oh, I mean, you do, but very deep inside. And like, this is, I feel like it's like Wes's subconscious being like, I know how we can get back at Angel.
The answer is yes, but that's beside the point.
Yeah.
Also, doesn't it defeat the purpose of having wiped the memories of everyone if there's still like a contract that's very easily found by anyone working at Wolf and Art?
Gotta have a paper trail.
It's true. Bureaucracy.
Yeah.
And I kind of miss when Flo was down there doing her thing. She would have been like, no, don't read that. But no, she's off doing Progressive commercials now.
Well, she would also be working for them now.
She'd probably be dead, actually, from the zombie apocalypse.
That's true. Thing. She would have turned into
true.
Zombie. She would not be there anymore.
I actively had this thought. I was like, zombie Flo, when I was watching it in the filing cabinets.
All right. So, Angel at first does not want to help. Turns out, according to Marcus, this had nothing to do with the senior partners. They didn't do this. Turns out he, after Angel turns Connor's family away, they get attacked by demons. Angel saves them all. And Connor thinks it's really cool that Angel almost split a guy in half, you know. So some things have not changed about Connor. But they track down the demons to basically being minions of this really creepy wizard, basically named Sivus Vale. And he's sending some kind of message, like, to Connor and to Angel. So Angel tracks down Vale, and he reveals that he has the urn that has Sajan in it. So we're going with some deep cuts here.
Oh, yeah. The name Sajan just made me, I was like, oh God, we're going all the way back. Where's Holtz?
Yeah. So
wait, did we kill off Holtz's lady friend thing? The lady who was, is she around? Could she have come around for all this too? I think Wesley just released her, right?
Yeah, I think Justine's still alive.
Yeah, Justine should have come back too. They could have had like a whole family reunion. Like, ah, we were the evil people.
She was in the flashback that Wes had. That's enough.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, mm-hmm. Cutting his throat again.
Oh my God, that flashback, so bad, but also so good. It just reminded me of so many bad times.
When Buffy or Angel does this, like so many different like little cuts, I'm like, I just need to go and like look at every little sequence frame by frame and see that I remember them all and see if they added anything new. I don't know why, because I just feel like obsessive about like people like hiding things in like YouTube annotations that are really quick like that. And I'm like, what are they hiding?
I did that today, actually. I was watching the Once Upon a Time series finale, and there's like a super cut of a bunch of scenes at the end of it. And I was like, I don't remember this happening.
All right, so Vale wants Sajan dead, because apparently he can't just let him rot in his urn. He's like,
doesn't go with his decor either.
And he's actually kind of smart, and like, I'm expecting this to break at some point, and then Sajan's going to try and kill me because they're enemies.
Yeah, like when he dusts, you know, with all his tubes.
Yeah. Like when he knocks into
tube
it.
My tube is going to get wrapped around this, and I'm not going to be able to sweep it up.
Especially now that Angel killed all his guards, so he has no one to, you know, dust for him.
That was rather rude. Is that guy still around too? Like, I feel like we stopped time on him and then he just didn't come back. So yeah.
He's still around.
He's probably going to want some revenge or some sort.
He disappeared.
Well, I don't know. Like, he had Sajan killed, but also the memories are back. So I feel like he's all good now. Like, he got his plan all set out.
He got what he wanted. He wanted Sajan dead. But so, and remember, the reason that Sajan altered the prophecy to set Wesley on his path and everything was because Connor was prophesied to be able to kill him. So Vale knows the real prophecy and was like, your son's the only one that can kill him. I'm getting my affairs in order and I need him dead. So if you get him to kill Sajan, we'll leave him alone. If not, I created all his memories. I'm going to give him back. And you don't want that. So Angel is forced to kind of work with Connor not knowing who he is, and also this messiness of no one else knowing about the memory spell to get him to help Connor kill Sajan. Meanwhile, Wesley is awful and terrible and thinks that that Angel sacrificed Fred for this thing. Because everything's about Fred, this woman that he holds on a pedestal.
So much trust in this family.
And it just goes to show that, you know, no matter what version of Wes, that darkness from Billy, mm-hmm. it exists. Like, just because he lost those memories of going dark once, it's completely, he has the capacity. He thought he murdered his father for Fred earlier this season.
Yeah, somebody check his closet for a woman.
Yeah, seriously. He's like, he is one more detail of like learning about something from the past from going full crazy.
Yeah. Yep. So Wes confronts Angel while Connor is fighting Sajan and is like, did you sacrifice Fred? And Angel's like, I could practically see the question marks go over his head. Like, what the fuck are you talking about? No. And Fred or Wesley breaks the memory spell. And then Illyria gets back Fred's old memories and Wesley gets his old memories back. And then the question becomes, did Connor? He, in the moment, suddenly becomes able to fight and he cuts off Sajan's head. So, bye, Sajan. But then he doesn't act in any way different from from this Connor.
Like, when he gets back up, that is such a callback to like, feral Connor.
Peter Pan days.
Yeah.
But Angel's kind of watching him and being like, I can't tell. He's not.
Yeah, but he's dumb. He established
that. Also true.
I find it surprising that Connor would be able to think out of his seat so quickly as to be like, oh yeah, I just don't like when people touch my neck. Yuck, time to go back to my parents. And then in the end, when he like lets it go and he's like giving him that stare, I think he's totally there. He totally has the memories back, but he's just smarter than Angel to be able to fool him and tell him that he didn't. Or to make it seem like he didn't.
Well, okay, let's get a survey. Does everybody think Connor got his memories back?
See.
I don't know. I don't like open endings like that. But since I think that we're not going to see Connor again, I want to say no, because I want Connor to just go back to his life. Do you know what I mean?
Connor wants to go back to his life.
Yeah. So, like, if he did get them back, then that's, like, the biggest, like, knife to the heart for Angel. Because he's like, I literally cannot deal with all of you fools. That I'd rather go to Stanford. Which, fair. But
I mean, Angel would rather him go to Stanford.
Yeah.
He was so proud.
He was so proud. I would love it if, like, we see another episode and he's, like, got, like, a Stanford t-shirt on.
He would.
Yes, I know.
I'm expecting, like, a Stanford mug on his desk for his blood or something.
For his blood.
I mean, I think Connor got his memories back. I thought that look that he gives him was very...
Yeah, not even that, but, like, when he gets back into the fight.
The flippy jumps.
Yeah, flippy thing. Like, longer hair and a Peter Pan outfit, then he's back to being basic Connor.
if he got his memories back, let's go under the assumption that he did. What does it tell us that he still seems stable and, you know, coherent and making the choice to go back to this family that he had been with?
I think nurture over nature?
Yeah. I think
even if it's fake.
Yeah, I think he recognizes that, you know, I don't know, because I think like maybe this whole thing with all of the memories coming back, it's just, it would be too much for him to try and work through, and he sees people in need, which are the parents that did in fact raise him and believe that they raised him, and that's, you know, in this moment he is choosing his family the same way that Angel had to choose his family, and he's choosing the family that that needs him more in that moment, which is sad because he's like being a good guy after all.
And he's significantly less annoying. He had this great line where he's like, what am I going to do? Complain about it?
Yeah.
I lost it at that point. Like, they were very aware of how annoying he was. And I feel like it tells us that Connor, like, I think that part where he says to Angel, like, right after he's killed Sajan, he's like, I don't think this fighting thing is for me. Like, I think that's genuine. Like, with his memories or not, he's good-hearted. We talked a lot in season 4 about how he was just so naive and innocent, and that is what made him susceptible to this massive amount of manipulation. And I think we're seeing in this version of Connor, you know, the version of Connor who would have grown up had he been raised normally, probably by Angel and Cordelia.
Yeah. The baby was in the bed, okay?
But I think he genuinely doesn't want to be part of that life. I think he has gotten that taste of a normal life. And I think after probably the fight with Sajan and after he's gone back to his parents, he probably processed to a degree. And I think he, with that scene we get with Angel, he acknowledges and recognizes what Angel did for him, and is kind of, I feel like him going back to his parents is kind of accepting the sacrifice that Angel made for him.
Yep.
And is saying, I am going to take this gift you have given me of a life, and I'm going to take it and appreciate it. That's kind of how it feels for me.
I wish I didn't like him at the end of this, but of course that's what Angel's doing to me.
So now where does Wesley go now that he has his memories of stealing Connor and having his throat slit? And
he's just going to start burning down Los Angeles. Wes is very unstable, and I'm quite nervous that they're not going to handle this storyline well, judging by, well, Wes's storyline thus far. So I don't have a lot of faith that they're going to be able to unpack this in the amount of time that they truly probably need to unpack it, but I don't know. He's not in a good place, and I am genuinely worried for his well-being at this moment.
He was already teetering on the brink of losing it before this.
Yeah, and there was like a moment where I thought he was slowly getting better, and I think that was probably on purpose when he walks into he's like still snippy and a little bitchy, but like when he walks into the room after when Spike is getting like the crap kicked out of him, and you know, is just really concerned about his face and clipboard, and he seemed like much more calm and, you know, in control, and like he had a plan of action, and you know, but then of course he like probably just plateaued for a little bit, and then the true, like, steep decline just kicked in. Like, he found some semblance of normalcy for that moment in time, and now it's all bets are off. Who knows what Wes is going to do?
He seems like a nuke.
Yeah.
About to go. Because he was already on the verge of exploding. And now to realize he set everything in motion that he's been trying to blame on everybody else but himself.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And now we're going to have that coupled with, like, him beating himself up for Fred's death, and then coupled with the fact that he's realizing all the crap that he did previously with Angel that led to all of that nonsense and them working at Wolfram and Hart. And it's sort of like, you know, you can be mad at Angel for signing you all up for this, but at the same time, you set most of these things in motion. Somewhat. You, like, everyone has a hand in doing something here. And Wes has a pretty big hand in it. Lindsay has no hand in it, but
that's okay. Any final thoughts on Origin?
Illyria is super judgy when she gets Fred's memories back, and I'm kind of here for it.
Yeah, she is, isn't she?
Yeah, like, you stole his son.
Huh. I think she's sort of like, maybe it's for the best that Fred is dead and not with you. You, like, you kind of judgy, kind of into it.
Like,
because, I mean, she likes horrible things because she's evil.
Yeah, like, no wonder she's sticking with. Yeah.
You think you're a good guy? That's cute. All right, our international titles for this episode. The German is My Son and Me. So that kind of spoiled Connor's return, if you didn't know that was happening. And the French, Another Reality.
Dun, dun, dun. We already have like 10 of those, so.
I know, that I'm like, that's ridiculously vague.
Like, I'm still stuck in a wish verse.
Oh, and we didn't talk about Gunn deciding to keep in the holding dimension. Marcus comes and offers him a chance to make a deal. And he doesn't even wait to hear what it is. He just says, let's get on with the heart carving. Let's go.
Chop, chop.
Mm-hmm. So he has learned his lesson about making deals with Wolfram and Hart. He is not going to make any more of those.
Is the heart really in the center of the chest? I thought it was a bit more to the left.
It is to the left. But not. It's really not that far to the left.
Yeah.
Let's get to the right.
Put your hands on your hips.
Poor Gunn. I think he's getting punished more than he deserves.
Oh, for sure.
Alas.
Maybe Wesley can move in next door.
If anyone deserves it.
Do you think that Illyria and Wes are really not going to follow Angel anymore? Like, are they going to just leave Wolfram and Hart? Are they going to become like evil duo here? Or like, what's going to go on? I don't know. Strange when she just like, Wes doesn't follow you anymore. So does he follow Illyria or are they equals?
Well, she says to him at one point, like, you really don't worship me at all, do you? She's kind of disappointed.
And then she's like, yeah, you stole the baby. And then Angel tried to kill you. So I think they're all still thinking about it. There's a lot of process going on right now.
I mean, they also just found out, like, the apocalypse is coming. And it may be time to put some baggage aside so the world doesn't end.
And it's kind of funny because they reference that they lost two soldiers. They didn't exactly lose Gunn. They really could probably go back and get him and exchange him from someone else anytime. And it's not that Fred wasn't amazing, but now they have someone that can stop time. So that's definitely going to come in handy. That's probably why they had to write her in to stop the apocalypse so she could stop time and do whatever they need to do. But maybe I'm missing something there when they were trying to make the stakes seem higher. Because it seems like they're better off which is sad because I love Fred, but she didn't have time-stopping superpowers. We can't argue against that, unfortunately.
She also wasn't an ancient demon that wants to destroy humanity.
Yeah, yeah, maybe that's running against them.
She's in her favor.
And that's the argument.
Just throwing that out there. All right, let's move on to favorite scenes and favorite lines. My favorite scene was Spike and Illyria's sparring session, which was gorgeous. Spike getting the crap beaten out of him and Illyria finding it hilarious. And now she wants to keep him as a pet. Spike can never catch a break. I cracked up when Angel was talking to Wes and was like, we need to study her or something. That could be very dangerous. He's like, we'll get Spike to do it.
That was fun.
I've been hitting the half breed. He makes noise.
Yeah. so good. And Spike was so proud of his clipboard.
Yeah.
Like, don't touch the clipboard.
I'm making notes.
I love him. Kept trying to just, say to Wes, he's like, I'm taking notes. Like, he's like, I'm doing work. Like, I'm not just, some person who can go out on missions just for backup. Like, I'm doing the stuff. I'm writing it down.
He's trying sick to of make being reconnaissance.
Oh, he's trying boy. To make Fred proud.
Yeah, because it's what she would have wanted. My, what was your favorite scene?
Connor leaving and giving Angel the learn it from my father winky eye nod thing. Because that's the bit that got me.
And Angel's kind of dawning comprehension.
Yeah. Slow dawning.
Always slow with Angel.
Yeah.
Aw. Mitch, your favorite scene.
Similar to yours, Mai. It's when Connor left the series for good.
That's
hopefully. I thought that before, but
he does this little smile before he steps on the elevator as well. And it's like, oh, damn it, Connor. I didn't want to like you.
Like, they wrote him not annoying.
Stop this nonsense.
So it's possible, so they could do it. Which is just sort of...
Yeah, they just chose not to.
Who wrote this? Drew Goddard.
I kind of like how they can choose to talk about Cordelia, but they don't.
Well, they've mentioned her a couple times in the last few episodes.
Yes, which I thought was very significant because they weren't before. I think it's because they were waiting for the clear to actually have her on the show. And by the time they did, they're like, okay, now we're good. We can actually talk about her.
Okay, so he's written by somebody who hasn't written Connor before, so that's probably why he's not horrible.
Makes sense.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
Oh yeah, he didn't come on until season 5.
Yeah.
He wrote in Buffy season 7 and Angel season 5. Interesting. Okay. Good to know. Brittany, your favorite scene?
My favorite scene were all of the fleeting moments where you forgot how awful Connor was and just watching Angel and him together. But specifically, it was when Connor was impressed with Angel's fighting skills before he knew, him and Angel came together to, go to see that crazy guy. It was like when his parents were attacked and Angel just jumps out of nowhere and he was like, that was so cool.
Yeah.
He's like, you almost broke that guy in half.
It reminds me of when they were play fighting in the alley.
Yeah.
Aww. We could have had it all. All right. Favorite lines. Mine was right after Connor released this Sajan, and Sajan goes, thank you, mortal, for releasing me from my cursed prison. In gratitude, I grant you 3 wishes. And Connor goes, really? Sajan goes, nah, I'm just messing with you. he's a bastard, but I've always loved Sajan.
Same.
And now he's dead, and I'm a little sad.
Also same.
My, your favorite line.
Ah, oh, I've been waiting so long to pick this. And Connor meets Illyria. I guess I've always had a thing for older women. And then Angel goes, they were supposed to fix that. What? Nothing.
That was so good.
I laughed a lot and I was like, oh, they know how bad it was.
Oh, they know.
They know. They were supposed to fix that. Mitch, your favorite line.
Mine is just when Illyria goes, I'd like to keep Spike as my pet.
Also same.
And Brittany.
Mine was just the, like, after Illyria is talking to Wes and she's sort of just like questioning his judgment and why he chooses to trust Angel all the time. And I just thought that the juxtaposition of these two scenes was just so perfect. So it's Wes talking to Illyria and he says, I don't always understand Angel. And then he goes on to say in his next line, I trust he knows what he's doing. And then, like, literally 1 second later when they cut to Angel in his office, he's like, what the hell is going on? So, like, you know, it's just like, I trust this guy. You know, he knows what he's doing, but every single time, like, Angel literally has no idea what's going on ever. So he has no idea what he's doing.
They do that very well when they had, like, for instance, Fred having the scene with her parents and this flashback, I'll be boring in Los Angeles, and then she's using the flamethrower. I like when they do those.
I want to give a shout out to Marcus Hamilton just saying, you and I won't be making love on this couch anytime soon.
I was like, damn it.
That was good. All right. That wraps up our discussion of Angel for this week. If you guys have any thoughts about these episodes or anything we had to say in these episodes, send your thoughts to us at via email, rewatchable.podcast@gmail.com. Tweet us at @re_watchable. Find us on Tumblr at rewatchablepodcast.tumblr.com. And find us on iTunes. And I refuse to wrap this iTunes incentive.
Seem to be the M&M wrapper when it comes to things on Rewatchable. So if you want me to, I can.
Do it.
All right. If you rate us 5 stars, then Karen will let you lose yourself in the music the moment you own it. You better never let it go. You only get one shot. Do not miss your chance to blow. This opportunity comes once in a lifetime. You better.
A+. Nice job, Mitch.
Thanks.
All right, we have one piece of listener feedback this week. Brittany, would you like to take that?
Sure. So our one piece of listener feedback comes from Cassandra at Palliard, who says, in response to our conversation about Wesley's turtlenecks, she says, Wesley's turtlenecks. In my opinion, they hide his slit throat scar. After the memory wipe, you could still see the scar, but the show didn't address the mystery of why he might have this heinous wound. Then the sweaters began. I expect a reveal literally upcoming. And
dun, dun, dun.
You know, he was wearing a button down this week because now I'm paying attention to his wardrobe more. But we were commenting on the turtlenecks and we were just like, man, he looks so good. But who knew that there was a hidden meaning, if there was. But
well, he wore like the one turtleneck for like, I swear, like 5 episodes in a row when Fred died. I was like, God, that man needs to go home and shower.
And now his shirt is open.
And all of his secrets are exposed with it.
Yes!
I didn't notice. I wasn't looking for the scar, really. I don't know if it's there. I'm sure
it
is. Me
neither. It's probably not.
No?
I've gone looking for it at times. He gets filmed a lot, like, just so you can't really see his neck.
Mm-hmm.
Weird.
Like, I don't know if it's intentional or not, but a lot of the shots that he's in are like either from the side or like from an angle so that his neck just like isn't super visible.
Doesn't he get filmed a lot from just one side after his, he had palsy, didn't he?
I think it healed up, if that's the way you reference it. You had it for like one episode of filming, as I remember asking questions to the super fans and they were talking about it.
All right, we will wrap up our episode as usual with our newbie predictions. We only have a couple more to do for Angel. So we have Brittany's brainstorms and Mitch's musings for Angel 519 Time Bomb and 520 The Girl in Question. Take it away, guys.
Well, Lyria controls time.
What? No, we've literally just been talking about how Wes is a ticking time bomb.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I was like, well, the first one's obvious, and then there's Mitch.
Because with Illyria's help, he could, yes, explode. Be his ticking time bomb, and she could help that out by stopping time again and doing nasty things.
Oh, God.
Help him to escape or whatever.
Anyway, I think that's what it's in reference to, is the fact that Wes is going to blow up any second, and if left unchecked, you know, not great.
And the girl in question is Fred? I don't know. We don't have too many girls left, so we have like three we can pick from. Could be Nina. God only knows. But yeah. What is the girl in question doing?
The girl in question is maybe the key to the apocalypse.
Oh, okay. Maybe Daniel Panabaker will come back and be like, I'm the conduit again. Hey.
Oh, no. After what we've been talking about, having any girl referenced in any title is iffy for this show. So,
for sure.
Yeah,
for sure.
It will not be. Whatever happens, the girl in question is not going to have a good time of it.
And before they kill off Illyria, and then we're like a double dead on Fred.
Yeah. Probably.
Yikes. Insult to injury. I guess we'll see. Those are the last two before the finale. I'm assuming the finale is going to be one like thing, like the last two episodes. I don't know.
I can't believe it's almost over.
It's weird.
I could finish the show technically because next weekend I'm at a wedding all weekend.
Wow. Yeah. That's crazy.
Finish the show this week, guys. I could end it.
End it all, Britt.
Just end it all. End the last 3 years.
All right. That wraps up our discussion for this week. That wraps up Brittany with Angel, apparently.
It was good, guys. I'm out. Headphone drop. Could, if I drop the mic, though, we can't finish the episode. So
Yeah, it might break.
So we will be back next week with a new group for the penultimate episode discussion of Angel, which is crazy to think about. But until next time, my name is Caitlin.
I'm Mai.
I'm Mitch.
And I'm Brittany.
Thanks for listening, everyone. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.